Sometimes I think we confuse and confound what Christianity is, and it's not a bunch of different things. It's living for Christ. Verse 16 says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Verse 17 says, "Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." The only way that you can be reconciled and be brought to God and be one with God is through Jesus Christ. It's not through meditation, it's not through religion, it's not through works. It's none of those things, it's only through Jesus Christ. And then we now have the ministry of reconciliation, that is to go out and tell others how they can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, is what he's saying there. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, that would be Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus Christ was made sin. He was sin personified on the cross, and it was for us. It was for believers. He became sin so that we could become righteousness. He became a person. He became a man. He became the Son of God so that we could become sons of God. He became a human being, is what I'm trying to say. God manifest in the flesh so that we could become children of God. Before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have given to us. We thank you for blessing us with blessings this past year. You've watched over us for another year, and we thank you for it, Father. You brought us to this place, to this hour. We pray, dear God, that we would have not only a good new year this coming up, but we'd have a godly year, and we would glorify you and honor you with our lives. Dear God, we pray that you would help us to learn something and receive something from your word this evening. We cannot get it on our own. We must have you to help us through the Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just thinking about the year in the United States in the past, or this past year, we had a record year for the stock market. I mean, if you have money in the stock market, you made a lot of money. That thing was through the roof. I had never seen that. They were saying, man, record year in the United States. So we had a good year in that respect. But it was a bad year in other respects. Seemed like every time you turn on the news, someone's being accused of sexual harassment or sexual misconduct or something like that, and people are being fired, and, well, they should be. You know, we can't go around acting like savages. You had the firing of Harvey Weinstein and Matt Lauer and Bill O'Reilly and all of these big-name guys that were using their power to take advantage of women. So, in that respect, it was not a good year. It was not a godly year. We may have had a good year in the United States, but it was not godly. You did not see across the United States, you did not see repentance. You did not see people turning to Jesus Christ. You did not see people repenting of their sins and doing all of those things. We may have had a good year in the United States, but we did not have a godly year in the United States. And that's what we need in our families and in our homes and in our towns today. We need some godliness, not only goodness, not only morality, not only all of those things. We need godliness. We need to honor and to glorify and to praise God in our lives. And you can only do that through Jesus Christ. You can be a good person all you want to, but the motivation for that, if it's not based on God and it's not based on love for God, is nothing but good works and nothing else. You're only doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for God. I mean, atheists and all of these different people that are not Christians can be good, moral people, but the problem is they're not doing it for God. They're doing it for themselves, or they're doing it for someone else. You know, that's pretty much just turning a blind eye to who God is, ignoring God, and doing it for yourself. You cannot ignore your Maker and think that you're going to get away with it. It's not going to happen. So we need a godly year. And you cannot please God, and you cannot glorify Him apart from Jesus Christ and apart from faith in His Word and apart from faith in His Son. The Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. The Bible says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It doesn't matter how hard you work or how hard you try or how good of a person you might think you might be. You have to go through Jesus Christ. And so in order to have a godly year and be a godly person, in order for us to glorify God, we must have Jesus Christ. Same way with a new year coming up. I don't want to just have a good new year. I want to have a godly new year. And I hope that's your hope as well. We look at verse number 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What is salvation? Let me tell you what it's not first. Salvation is not confessions. Salvation is not professions. Salvation is not praying prayers. Salvation is not walking an aisle or raising hands. Now, you may have done some of those things when you got saved, but that's not salvation. Only Jesus Christ saves you. It's only by faith and nothing else. Now, you may have exhibited your faith by doing all of those things, but that's not salvation. Only Jesus Christ saves. What else is salvation not? Salvation is not morality. Just because you're good does not mean that you're saved. Does not mean that you're right with God. If you're a good person and you're not saved, the wrath of God is abiding on you and you're under condemnation. You must have Jesus Christ. Salvation is not morality. I mean, you can go to any false cult out there in this town, go and check out the Mormons. They're some of the most moral people that you'll ever meet. They wear shirts, white shirts and ties 7 days a week. So what? They don't cuss, they don't drink, they don't do all those things. They're not saved. What's the matter with them? They're self-righteous. All of their righteousness is rooted in themselves and in their religion. They're not saved. You must have Jesus Christ. You must come to a place and time in your life where you humble yourself before God and say, man, I cannot make it on my own. I cannot make it. I mean, you got atheists out there that are good moral people. Man, they probably give you the shirt off their back. But they're God-defying, God-rejecting fools. And they're not going to get eternal life. Morality is not salvation. Muslims, man, they're good people. You'll find plenty of good Muslim people out there. All Muslims are not terrorists. I mean, sometimes we might think that, but all Muslims are not terrorists. Many of them are good people. But they're on their way to hell. Morality is not salvation. Certain moral changes might occur after salvation. You might give up certain vices, and you should. Maybe you were a drunkard before you got saved. And I hope that you give all those things up, but morality is not eternal life. Now, this verse before us gives the precise description of what happens to a person after they are saved. It says, if any man be in Christ. If, that's a conditional clause, you must be in Christ. You must be in Him. In the event that this happens, you have to be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, that's any man. There is no exceptions. Every man that is in Christ is a new creature. That's what happens. If any man be in Christ, that's all mankind. That's every man, woman, child that is in Christ. He is a new creature. He's in Christ. Jesus Christ, what does it mean to be in Christ? It means Jesus Christ is the means which God chose to justify mankind. That's what He chose. A lot of people don't like that. They say, well, what is this? Why would God choose Jesus Christ? Why would God choose the Jews? Why would God choose all these things? You know what people like that want? They want a God that doesn't like to make choices. They want a God that is a puny God. They want a God that they can control. They don't want a choosy God. They want a puny God. But that's what God chose. And if God is the creator of the universe, man, He can do whatever He wants. I don't care. As long as he loves me. I believe that God will do right. He is a just God. And that's what he chose. He chose to redeem, to justify, and to sanctify, and one of these days to glorify undeserving, hell-bound sinners through Jesus Christ. And if you want to get in Christ, you must put your faith and your trust in him and say, man, I cannot make it on my own. I must go to you, Jesus Christ, because you are the righteous one and I am not the righteous one. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means you have new desires. He puts a new heart on the inside of you. And you now love the things that you once hated and you hate the things that you once loved. You are a new creature in Christ. You have a new man abiding on the inside of you, and that is Jesus Christ. That's the creature on the inside. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You want to have a godly life? You want to have a God-centered life? Get a hold of Jesus Christ. Get born again. Be saved. He is a new creature. You are someone new on the inside. Old things are passed away. All those old things that you like to do, well, you might still have trouble with them sometimes, but guess what? You don't like to do them anymore. You struggle with those things. You got to struggle in your Christian life. Sometimes you want to do things that you shouldn't be doing. Yeah, I think we all fit into that category. But you don't want to do them because you're under conviction, right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have a new mindset, a new way of thinking. You are not self-righteous anymore. You realize that your sin is destroying you. You realize that your sin is an offense against God, and God is a holy God. That's what happens when somebody gets saved. Old things are passed away. You get rid of that pride and that rebellion and that self-reliance that you once had. And you thought you could do anything without God, but you can't do it anymore. You must have Christ. All things are become new. We now have the mind of Christ. We can now think the way that God thinks. We can now get into his avenue of grace and his avenue of mercy. Get into that righteousness, and now we can please God because we are a new creature in Christ. We have the ability to please God because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please him. So we can not only be good and hopefully moral people like we should be, but we can be godly people to please God in all those different things. What about a new year? We want to have a good new year. But we also want to have a godly new year. Not just good, but godly. The old year has passed away. I don't know if you've thought about the things that have happened in your life in the past year. But you ought to sit and you ought to reminisce and you ought to think about the things. Maybe you had some failures in your life. Maybe you had some struggles. Maybe you had some trouble. I had some trouble. I had some struggles and failures. We all do. We all have those things. There's four ways that we ought to look, four directions that you ought to look if you want to have a godly new year. You want to look backward. Now you say, backwards, man. Well, I don't want to look backwards. Yeah, you ought to look backwards. You ought to reminisce a little bit. You ought to look backwards. You ought to look inwards. You ought to look forwards, and you ought to look upwards, finally. Hey, man, have you reminisced a little bit about the things that have happened in your life in the past year? You ought to think about those things. There is nothing that you got good in this year apart from God. If you got something good this last year, it was from God. And you ought to count your blessings and thank God for all the things that he's given to you. Look backwards a little bit. Before you ring in the New Year's this evening, when you go home and you sit down and you think, you ought to think a little bit and thank God for the blessings that he gave you this past year. Give God the praise and the honor and the glory that he deserves. Look back and give thanks for the blessings that he's given to you. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He gave you those things. Man, you got some good parents? Thank God for them. You got a good spouse? Thank God for them. Look back and thank God for the blessings that he's given to you. David said in Psalm 103:2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Man, he's been good to me. I can look back this last year and I didn't miss one meal that I didn't want to. There was not one time I didn't have heat in my house. There was not one time, man, I tell you what, God has been good to me. I never went without clothes. I had heat and air conditioning all year. I was employed and had strength to work. God saved me from killing myself for another year. And I could have plenty of times. I just about cut my finger off the other day and he stopped me from doing that. Tell you what, God's been good to me. I bet he's been good to you too. As we sing the song, count your blessings. Name them one by one. You better look backward and thank God for all that he's given to you. I've got good family and friends. God was gracious to me and he's helped me through every trial. And by his grace, I'm going to make it through this next year. And he's going to help me through all of those trials. You better look back and thank God for all he's given to you. You better look back and learn from the mistakes too. As I said, I almost cut my finger off, or the corner of it, the other day. You know what I was doing? I was cutting sheetrock and had my hand down like that, and I was cutting like that. And just about cut the corner of my finger off. I looked at that thing, I was like, oh, man. I was thinking to myself, they're going to want to fire me. They're thinking I'm a liability here already. This is the second time I had to go to the ER in 3.5 years. They're going to have to fire me. Look back and learn from your mistakes. Man, I bet you made some mistakes last year. I did too. Man, look back and learn from those mistakes. Hey, don't wallow in self-pity, but look back and say, man, I could have done some things better. Could have done it better. You know what I'm going to do from now on? I'm keeping my hand up here when I'm cutting like this so I don't cut my finger anymore. Look back and learn from the mistakes. Winston Churchill said, all men make mistakes, but only wise men learn from their mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. Hey, learn from those mistakes. Don't make the same mistakes next year. Hopefully I won't be standing here telling you about how I cut myself on my finger again. You better look back and learn from past successes too. Did you do something right this last year? Well, think about those things and say, I want to do that again this coming year. I want to have some more successes. Don't only look back, but look inward. Look inside. Do you ever examine yourself on the inside? And say, how am I doing? You know, Paul the Apostle wrote to the Corinthians and he said, examine yourself. And that ought to be the life characteristic of a Christian, is looking inward to see what our heart is like. Do we love God the way that we ought to? Are we giving him everything that we should? Look inward. He said, examine yourselves and be, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. He said, look at your faith. Examine yourself. He said, but I know you're not reprobates. A reprobate is somebody who's rejected or cast away. You ever examine yourself and look on the inside? Not only examine yourself, but hey, judge yourself. Judge yourself. You know what we're really good at? Myself included, and probably everyone here, we're good at judging other people. We'll get that magnifying glass out real good and check it out on somebody else. Say, man, I see all the things that they're doing wrong. And you're checking them out real good to judge them. And you probably judge them before you even talk to them, just by looking at them, right? But the Bible says that we ought to judge ourselves. Because if we spend more time judging ourselves, we won't have time to judge somebody else. Amen. Bible, Jesus Christ told the Pharisees and his own disciples in Matthew chapter number 7, he says, get the beam out of your own eye before you go around judging somebody else. That person over there's got a little sliver, a sliver in their eye, but you got a beam sticking out of your own eye. Judge yourself. That's looking inward. What's the matter with me? Not what's the matter with somebody else, but what's the matter with me? Number 3, if you're going to look inward, you better repent. You better turn from the sin that you're committing. And I better turn from the sin that I'm committing. You know what the first words of Jesus, the first words that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ whenever he started his public ministry? Repent! Change your mind! Stop your sinning! That's what he said. Repent. You know what John the Baptist said? Repent. Repent. And then he said, don't just say you repented. Do works that show you repented. Repent. That's looking inward. How is my thinking going? Am I doing something against God? Am I being displeasing to God? Read the Word of God. So we repent. We repent. David said in Psalm 51, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, on the inside. This is where he wants truth. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He said again in Psalm 26, 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Look on the inside. We look inward if we want to have a godly year. Not just a good year, but a godly year. Number three, you need to look forward. We have a new year ahead of us. We have new opportunities. We have new trials. We have new challenges. We have new tribulations coming our way. It's not going to be all rosy and great in 2018. It's going to be hard. So you better look forward. Who are you going to be trusting in? Yourself? You're going to get out the old self-reliance and put it on? I'm going to take on the new year. You better be trusting in Jesus Christ. You better look forward. What does the new year hold for you and what is in store for you? Better renew your commitment to follow Jesus Christ. That's a good time to do it in the new year. You better renew your commitment to read the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. I read a statistic the other day that said if most people would trade in their TV time for Bible reading, they'd finish reading the entire Bible in 4 weeks or less. Man, you could really get after it, couldn't you? And you wouldn't be watching TV. And I mean, I know you'd be missing your favorite programs. I would too. 4 weeks or less. I read another statistic that said 11% of Christians read all of the Bible. That's only 11% read the whole Bible. 9% read all of it more than once. That's reading it through it more than once. 9% and 10% don't read any of the Bible, and 15% read at least half of the Bible. Did you know that just leads to Bible illiteracy? Nobody even knows who God is. Among professing Christians, no one knows who God is. They have no idea about the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. That's sad. That's sad for Christians. That's a shame. Christians ought to read their Bible. They ought to know God. And you're not going to find out about God from watching TBN or something like that. You've got to read the Bible. So renew your commitment to read the Word of God and to pray more. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. The only lifeline to God is to pray. So you look forward and then you look upward, because you can't accomplish anything in this life that is for God without Jesus. Can't do it. Can't look among ourselves and do it ourselves. We are not self-reliant. We must rely upon Jesus Christ. We must look upward. Again, David said in Psalm 121, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. I'm looking upward. That's where I'm looking. I'm going to look for the Lord up there. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord will. The Lord will do it. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So we have a new year coming up in our lives. 365 days. You're going to shed some tears. You're going to have some sadness, and you're going to laugh some, and you're going to have some joy, and you're going to have some trials and tribulations. Where are you going to get the grace to go through all of those things? Only through Jesus Christ. Because grace comes through Jesus Christ. And you're going to have those things. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. How about when the failures come? And you don't do all the things that you should have. And I don't do all the things that I should have. man, you're going to have Jesus Christ there to help you and lift you up and drag you back up and put you on your feet again. And when you have successes, you're going to need the Lord to knock you back down and bring you back to humility and me to humility in those 365 days. So we want to have not only a good year, but we want to have a godly year by counting our blessings and thinking about the things that happened in the past. And then continual repentance towards God in each and every day, and then expect God to do something for us and trusting Him in this new year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for all that You have given to us. Lord, we trust in You. And we need You in everything, Father. Pray that You'd help us to have a godly year, one that will honor You and glorify You in this year coming up. Dear God, we cannot do it upon our own. We must have You. Pray that You'd help us and strengthen us for the days ahead. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.